It's Fire Away Friday.
Fire Away Friday.
On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question. You can email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Exploring the Word.
It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
Thank you for listening to Fire Away Friday. We love this program. We did this, started doing it about 14 years ago, Alex and myself, and we'd just say it's a regular program, but we're taking questions and answers. And one day, Alex and I got on, and I don't know which one of us was the first guy to say Fire Away Friday, but it has stuck. And so we praise the Lord for you listening here on Exploring the Word. On Friday, we take questions, and we do our best to give biblical, godly answers that help. But let me remind you, this is a pre-recorded Fire Away Friday, so we'll not be taking phone calls today. But we're taking questions that have been asked of us, and so it's still a good program. So we're hoping you'll enjoy it, that it'll help, and it would bless your life, and more than anything else, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we want to do, Alex?
Amen. Amen. We want to give God all the glory. And you know, Bert, as you and I are recording this, we're going over some questions for Fireway Friday. I've got a letter here, and those that are watching on video can see this. And it says, to Bert, Alex, and Brent. So Brent Austin, one of our producer engineers, it's in here too. But this dear gentleman, he says, I write this note to let you know God has introduced me to your program in the midst of brokenness so deep I wasn't sure that I could handle it. I share this story because God isn't finished with me yet. And the writer of this letter, he tells about what a hard time he was going through. And I have to share this. He says, I never turn the radio on in the car, but this particular day, just for some reason, I reached over and turned on the radio. And I have not been the same since. Bert, I give God all the praise for this. He says, God gave me a special gift the day that 88.9 came up. Bert, Alex, and Brent were on the air, and my life has been touched. Listening to your show, I heard each of you speaking as if you were special friends. I have to laugh because we pick at each other. But he goes on, he talks about the Bible teaching. He said, I heard each of you speaking to each other as special friends, and we certainly are. And he goes on, and this dear writer, his initials are LH. He talks about being in a deep, deep, hard place in life and how exploring the Word changed his life. And he talks about coming to Jesus Christ and how just in the providence of God, he said that he heard Exploring the Word, and he says, I've been on AFR ever since. Well, we completely give God the glory for that, don't we?
We do. It's only him. I found out this, that the only thing that really, really counts that Bert Harper has anything to say is, thus saith the Lord, really is. Mm-hmm. And that's why we do this program. And pray for us that we'll stay, we want to stay on track with God. I can't imagine turning away from him as good as he's been to us. But I just want to tell you, we appreciate people praying for us, that we will stay with God, that God would use us. And just continue to pray for that, because God has, and Alex and I are still amazed at what God has let us do in his kingdom work.
Oh, why not?
We both know some. He could have chosen someone else. But I tell folks I'm qualified, Alex. You know why? It says he's chosen the foolish and the weak.
Amen. Well,
I praise God for what he's done.
Well, you know, this morning I was just driving in the car, and I was praying and thinking. And there are three areas of life that God has entrusted to all of us. And he didn't have to give any of us, but he, for one thing, he gave us life, then salvation, and then the privilege of service. And I don't know, folks, if you maybe you're having a fantastic day, glory to God. Maybe you're a little bit down or something. You think about this. Here are three precious, priceless commodities that God has given you and entrusted to you. For one thing, life. You know, the universe could have done just fine without me, and yet God gave me life, and He gave you life. And then, if you're a believer, and I hope you are, He's given you salvation, the forgiveness of sin. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life if you've taken Christ as your Savior. Then the privilege of service. Amen. So three areas of life, my goodness, to be excited and to get up out of bed in the morning and face the day enthusiastically. We're alive. We've been saved. We've been commissioned for His service. That's worth getting excited about, isn't it, Bert?
It is, and I do get excited. I admit that, and it doesn't take a lot for me. But listen, I've got a lot, and I've got a lot to be excited about. And we hope those of you who are listening do as well. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, listen, trust Him today. Turn to Him today. Ask Him, Lord, I'm yours. I'm a sinner. I know You paid the price for me on the cross in Your death, burial, and resurrection. And today I'm turning from my way. I'm turning to Yours. I'm surrendering my life to You to follow You now and forever. Take me, Lord Jesus. Listen, God looks at the heart, and you say, well, I didn't say exactly those words. I'm so glad God listens to the heart, because Bert Harper can misspeak and he can not say the exact word, but God looks upon the heart. So we're praying that you've trusted Christ as Savior.
You know, we give God the glory, but I'm holding in my hand three things that the Lord has led us to be a part of over the last several years. Bert and I wrote three books, and for those that are watching online, I'm going to hold these up. The first one is titled 100 Bible Questions and Answers. And you, dear listeners, we are grateful because you provided these questions. And then we did a second book, 100 Bible Questions and Answers for Families. And this book deals largely with issues of marriage and family and child, raising children. Then just a couple months ago, and this is the red book, 100 Bible Questions and Answers on Prophecy and the End Times. And, Bert, what I would like to do on this Fireway Friday is take, in this order, the way they came out, take some of these questions from the three books that you and I have been privileged to work on. And may I do that out of the book?
Let's do that. Let me tell folks, let me tell people this, too. If you want one of these books, not have to wait, possibly, because the way they're structured, you can find the question because they're in groups, and you can say, oh, this is about this, this is about that, and you can turn there and find that question. You don't have to start at number one and go all the way to the 100th. And you can find these books at resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net. And so that way you can have one of your own, and our resource center people would be glad to send it to you. You can order it, and you can see the cost that they charge. It's a minimal cost, I can tell you that. And so, Alex, let's dig in. What question do you have first that we've answered, and we're going to take a stab at it again? Go ahead.
From Volume 1 of 100 Bible Questions, the first book that Bert Harper and I did together, I'm going to ask you question number 74. We haven't rehearsed this, folks, so this is very, very extemporaneous. Will I know my loved ones in heaven?
Oh, man. Hey, Alex, if that, I mean, we've had that question several times in these 14, 15 years we've been doing this program, but that question is a legitimate question. First of all, it is. And the first place I always go is the Mount of Transfiguration.
Yeah.
They knew who Moses and Joshua were. And with my sense of humor, which is pretty not high, pretty low, they didn't have name tags, and they still knew who they were, didn't they?
They really did. Peter, James, and John were up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And for one thing, let me just say this. I read in a commentary that it might have been, quote, a day off. Because, you know, the other 12 apostles, we don't quite know where they were. But Peter, James, and John, they went up with Jesus to pray. And while they were up there on that Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was glorified, but there was Moses and Elijah. Now, Moses and Elijah had been dead for centuries, and yet they really kind of knew each other. And Bert, doesn't it remind you a bit of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the love chapter? And most times if you're at a wedding, you'll hear, if I speak in the tongue of men and angels but have not love, I'm nothing. But it says in heaven, 1 Corinthians 13, 2, that we will know as we are known.
Amen.
And one sermon I heard years ago, fully known. Well, how does God know us thoroughly? Well, in heaven, we'll know each other thoroughly. That's why we encourage you to read the minor prophets of the Old Testament, because you're going to bump into Habakkuk and Amos, and they'll know you and you'll know them. And Amos might ask, gee, did you read my book? And yeah, I'm kidding. But no, I thoroughly believe that we will know our loved ones in heaven. You know, Bert, so I want to say this. It seems like in the year 2025, I think I did 7 or 8 funerals that year. And even in the homes of Christians, that they know the Lord and they know where their loved ones are, still there's bereavement. And I've had a few people ask me, one day in heaven, will I know my loved ones? I think scripturally, absolutely. Don't you, Bert?
I agree with you fully. Now, I want to use two illustrations here to do that. Again, raising 3 sons, we played a lot. Honestly, we did. We took Chuck Swindoll's advice. He said, have a lot of laughter in your home. We tried to do that. I tried to. And my boys would say, somebody always laughs at your jokes, Dad. You do. And so anyway, but one of the best things was connect the dots. We would go to a restaurant, and sometimes they would have a child's menu, and on that menu, they would have some activities, okay? And there's one particular one that I always went to when we were on the road, but they would have connect the dots, and you'd go from 1 to 2 to 3, and all of a sudden, the shape would come into your vision of what those connecting those dots would. In heaven, Alex, one of the reasons I believe that we will know as we're known, the dots are going to be connected. In other words, Bert Harper was saved under the preaching of Billy Langley. Okay, Billy Langley was my pastor. He baptized me. I got to be his pastor later on. He touched my life deeply. And then he was saved under this ministry, under that ministry. And all of a sudden, it's going to take shape. And it's going to go all the way back to an apostle. Think mm-hmm. about that. The spiritual connection, we do that with, and the other illustration is we do that with our family tree. Okay, I go back to this one. When you can go back 4 or 5 generations, wow, that's a long way back. In heaven, with all my heart, I believe we're going to stand there rejoicing over the connections, how it came from him, to her, to him. And we're going to rejoice in eternity, Alex, because mm-hmm. of the connection we have to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's some connection, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. This is a special edition of Exploring the Word. We're not live because we're traveling, but stay tuned because we're answering your questions. And by the way, if you ever do want to submit a question, you may email us word@afr.net, word@afr.net. We'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned. We're back after this.
Right now, the voices in our culture are loud, but truth is often silent. And today, Preborn needs you to help speak that truth. Women facing unplanned pregnancies are often pressured to act quickly. Before they have time to pause, breathe, or hear the truth about life, dignity, and hope. But I refuse to be silent, and I'm asking you to join me. At Preborn Network Clinics, a woman is welcomed with compassion and given a free ultrasound. She sees the life growing inside her, often for the first time, and in that sacred moment, fear gives way to clarity. And she's offered something the abortion industry will never provide, the hope of Jesus Christ. This April, our goal is to have 11,000 gospel conversations in Preborn Network Clinics, trusting God to bring the increase as we remain faithful to speak.
You can help make that possible by sponsoring ultrasounds. Just $28 provides one ultrasound. $140 sponsors five ultrasounds for mothers in crisis. Every dollar helps save babies and share the good news of Jesus Christ. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/host. That's preborn.com/host.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
As we go, let us make disciples. As we go, let us tell the world of Christ.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. This is Bert and Alex, and it is Far Away Friday, but we're not taking phone calls. We're answering questions from our books that we have written, and those books are available if you wanted to purchase one at resources.afa.net. There's three of them. You can find them there if you go to that resource and order them if you so desire. And you could add your name to it if you've ever called in and asked a question, because we took those questions from questions that people called in to Fire Away Friday in AFR and Exploring the Word and Ask. But Alex, one real quick word, and I'll throw it to you. That song, As We Go, that's straight out of the Great Commission. Now, I know the way we read it, it says, go ye therefore in all the nations, but the way it's really in the Greek, as you go, God is saying you're going to be on the go. You're going to go from your house to work. You're going to go from your house to the store. You're going to go to your house to a neighbor. As you go, make disciples. So,
indeed.
Hey, that's our command, isn't it?
Well, it really is. You know, one of the great kind of ancillary benefits of this show have been all the preaching engagements, and it has been my privilege for, you know, all these years. I'm in a pulpit pretty much every weekend of the year. And, you know, as you go, make disciples, and the different bumper music, very frequently I'll be in churches, and I guess the sound man will pull those music clips, and as I get up to preach, they'll play these things, you know, and so it means so much to us, and we love each and every one of you, and to God be the glory. Again, from book number one, 100 Bible Questions and Answers, and I'm trying to be very practical. I'm looking over all these questions that God's given us the privilege of fielding an answer to. Somebody asked this question. It was number 76. What does it mean for a Christian to backslide? And is backsliding a biblical concept? So, Bert, Pastor Bert, what is backsliding? And can a truly born-again Christian backslide?
Let me start by saying you don't hear near about that like you used to.
That's true. I remember
as a kid growing up in church, I would hear our pastor talk about those backslidden Christians. And I think it gave people who were lost, don't cut me off too quickly, stay with the whole thing, an idea. Okay, I'm saved, but I'm backslidden. But they really have never come to Christ. The answer is yes, there is, as a believer. You can be where you are. Let me answer it this way. In the book of Revelation, John was writing to a church. It said, you have left your first love. Let me say, when you have left your first love, Jesus Christ, you have backslidden. And it will be revealed. And usually, Alex, it's revealed over time. We're able to keep a mask on a lot of the time, you know. Chuck Swindoll, I refer to him. I love Chuck Swindoll. I love his books, love his preaching. And he is talking about the mask that we wear to church, you know. And he also talked about the ministry of the church parking lot. You know that. It's not just a place to park, but it's amazing. When they leave the house, they can be blowing the horn saying, hurry up and get out of here. Y'all kids, you behave back there in the back seat. But when they come up on the church parking lot, it's saying, we're here. And all of a sudden, they're smiling and happy and going to their different places. And so backslidden has the idea of leaving where you were and going backward. One more thing, and I'll throw it to you. Alex, there's no such thing for a Christian in him staying where he is. He is either going toward Christ or he is backsliding from Christ. You cannot just be settled and, okay, I've arrived, I'm going to do nothing, because guess what? Life will take you downstream if you're not struggling and paddling to go upstream. Go ahead, brother.
Well, you know, very often I've mentioned Spurgeon's book, Morning and Evening Devotions, which I absolutely love. And I know it's an older book and kind of in some Victorian English, but it will reward you if you get through it. And Spurgeon says, the Christian life is like a man climbing a hill of ice with spikes. If he's not climbing upward, he's sliding backward.
That's it.
You know, and you referenced the Revelation 3:15-16, where the Apostle John, well, it's the words of Jesus to the Laodicean church, quote, I know your works. You're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were cold or hot. So then because you were lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. And so, Bert, the thing about it is that we are to serve the Lord with 100% commitment. You know, this thought occurred to me decades ago. Maybe it's not original with me, but the middle of the road is a dangerous place to get run over. You know, don't be in the middle of the road. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And, you know, part of the reason that I kind of, you know, harp on biblical worldview and learning how to really think scripturally is because out of the mind comes ideas, attitudes, and then actions. One of my mentors, Josh McDowell, said there are beliefs and behaviors, and you sow a belief and you will yield a behavior. That's true, isn't it, Bert?
It really is. And your beliefs determine your behavior. And let me just share with you, your behavior will affect your beliefs. You get the change on the words a little bit. You know, it affects people that lacking a little bit and their behavior becomes. Here's what you're going to do with wrong behavior. You're either going to confess it or justify it, Alex.
Amen. Say that again. That is powerful, Bert.
With wrong behavior, with sin, you're either going to justify it or confess it, one or the other. You can justify it by saying, oh, that's the way I am. We can justify it and say, well, you know, I've grown where I don't quite believe that, quite like the Bible says it. You know, you're going to justify it. But what God wants us to do is confess it, agree with him, say the same thing, confess with our mouth. That means say the same thing God would say about everything. And I know that's that song, and I love it myself, My Father's Eyes. Alex, I want to see everything the way God sees it. Individuals. Amen. Issues. How does God see this? And listen, when we do that, I think we'll stay on track with God. We don't backslide. But let me just say, if you just are in neutral, you're going to backslide. You've got to put the gear forward and go forward. Sometimes if it's a straight stick, it may be in first gear sometimes, struggling through the mud and the mire, but you're struggling to go forward. So Alex, stay on track with God.
Indeed. And to everybody listening, I want to be very clear that Jesus still loves the backslider, but he wants you to turn back. You know, I think about Luke 15:20, the prodigal son says, when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Maybe you've just gotten a little cold and you've drifted, or maybe, God forbid, but maybe you've fallen into just unspeakable sin. Jesus Christ still loves you. Now, he loves you enough to tell you to turn things around and come on back. Repent, forsake sin, return to Jesus. But I do want to say, because, you know, we periodically get correspondence where people, you know, they just say, look, my life is a mess and I did it. Jesus, his arms are open. He loves you. He will forgive you thoroughly. He not only forgive you, he'll restore you.
Hallelujah.
And he'll help you. So come back to Jesus. His arms are open. Well, Bert, may I transition to book number two?
Go right ahead. That's the blue book, right?
The blue book, yes. And, you know, I give God the praise. I think the content is pretty good, but the covers are not bad themselves.
That's right. I remember when they sent them to it. Yeah, that's good. A lot better than Bert would have done, I know. Go ahead.
Well, the theme of this one, largely, 100 Bible Questions and Answers for Families, Inspiring Truths, Helpful Explanations, and Power for Living from God's Eternal Word. And we believe this. And one of the questions, number 77, what does it really mean to be a godly parent? What say you, Bert Harper?
Okay, the first thing I'd say, example. Listen, and you can still be a godly parent and children not follow that. We would have to leave out the book of Proverbs, half of the book of Proverbs, if it were not that the truth. Everyone's got to be their own. God has no grandchildren, but being a godly parent is example. I think it's also that of loving, unconditional loving, and them knowing that. But the example, what have you heard this, Alex? Your life speaks so loudly, I cannot hear what you're saying. So What you want to do is line up parallel what you're teaching and living that. My dad, he lived a life, and he was talking about his parenthood and making moral choices. And he said, boys, now when I was coming up, he was mostly talking to us. I had six sisters, but my brother and I, we were the younger of the nine. And I remember him saying, if you see me doing it, guys, y'all can. You come and join me. What an example that was. And so be that example. And listen, share the word. I think I'll throw it to you. Deuteronomy 6. Teach it and live it, Alex. I'm shortening it, but isn't that basically what Deuteronomy 6 says? Teach it and live it?
And I'm going to read from our book, if I may, and this is on page 159 of 100 Bible Questions and Answers for Families. Here's what we wrote, and I think this was about 3 years ago, but we wrote this. Someone wisely said, more is caught than taught. This principle is nowhere truer than in parenting. Children learn more by observation than by instruction. God understood this. Jesus said over 25 times, follow me. The Apostle Paul said, quote, and this is 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Paul urged the Philippians to join in imitating me. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you've seen in us, Philippians 3:17. Now, listen to this, and folks, we're telling you this because we believe it, and I've seen it in the lives of, you know, I was a youth pastor for 11 years, but then in the 20 years since, Angie and I have always been involved in youth camps, conferences, and church. Your example will outlast your words. What example will your children remember? The question is, what does it mean to be a godly parent? Yeah, going to church, taking to church, prayer over the meal, family devotion, so many things. But, Bert, it's our legacy that we leave is the example that we lived.
Amen. Alex, when I hear that, I go back to my childhood, and it has been a while. Let's admit that. Marty and Brent's both agreeing with me. And listen, I still remember my dad, especially one particular time, being in the South and how prejudice or racism could be a part. But I saw my dad demonstrate something that even as a 11, 12-year-old boy, I saw and never have gotten over of everybody is precious in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
And I'll never forget that, and it affected my life then for good. It affects my life today. That godly example, Alex. I don't know of anything that is as vital as that. Now we want to add to it. Would the word be add to the example? You know, going to church, practicing, tithing, sharing. all those, but add to that example. But first, those words will not overcome a bad example, will they?
No, no. I'm going to ask this. This is a related question, but I want to draw on your experience as a pastor on this. Question 82 in our second book, what should our top priorities be in family life?
Oh, wow. Time. Time. And man, I struggled with that. Pastoring, a relatively large church, being on call, having to do so many things. And then, let me make this, I want to make this loud and clear. We had three sons. I love sports. They love sports. But those sports would go from one to the other to one to the other. And a lot of times we'd have to spend our time doing what we felt like was spiritual, you know, going from one to the other and try to do it in. If I had it to do over, I would limit the, I would not take away the sports, but I would not be involved as much. Listen, I don't know how else to say this. Time management, Alex. Mm-hmm. Time management. Go ahead.
Amen. You know, we talk about in the book how the Bible has a lot to say about family, doesn't it? And do you know there's time. And I mean, there's no substitute. I know that as a husband and as a spouse. Listen, money or all the accoutrements or going on vacations. I know so many people are always going on cruises and things like that. Nothing necessarily wrong with that, but time together. You know, Angie always says, marry your best friend, right?
Amen.
And whether it's a friendship or a marriage or raising your children, and again, if I can default to two of the mentors in my life that I just, oh, I thank God for Josh McDowell and James Dobson. They both invested in Angie and me deeply, and they said over and over, time. L-O-V-E is spelled T-I-M-E. Is that right?
That is right. Amen. Take time. Be there. Learn to say no to some good things so you can do a better thing with your family.
AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Now, back to the Bible study. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert Harper, Alex McFarland here, and we've been going through quite a number of questions from three books that God's allowed us to do. We completely give God the glory for this show and for these books. And, hey, I mentioned it earlier, if you ever want to email us, we love to hear from you. And we read each and every one, and it really means so much. And the email to reach the show is word@afr.net, word@afr.net. The other thing I would mention is, if you would like us on Facebook, Brent Harper.
Oh, man.
Austin.
Wait just a minute. Stop the presses. And go
okay.
ahead. Go ahead, Alex.
We pick amongst ourselves Brent Austin, who runs the control board. He gets the Facebook page sorted out all the time. And a few months ago, we surpassed 10,000 friends on Facebook. We give God the praise for that. But like us on Facebook and spread the word about exploring the word, and it just might make a difference in somebody's eternity. Well,
Alex, I just got to say something. That was good. Spread the word about exploring the word. That's good. And by the way, if they want one of these books, there's three of them, and yet they can find them and order them at resources.afa.net. resources.afa.net. And this is Fire Away Friday, but as Alex and I sometimes travel, one or both of us, we do pre-records, and this is a pre-record, so we are not taking the phone calls. But Alex, go ahead. Book number three, question. Which question?
Yeah, and this is the most recent one. It just came out a few months ago, published by Broad Street. And by the way, these are available everywhere. And the one that we did recently, 100 Bible Questions and Answers on Prophecy and the End Times, Bert, with this war in Iran, you know, I just was on a show yesterday, and they said that the most Googled things on the search engines in recent weeks, interestingly, they say in the Middle East, and those that purvey the internet, somehow they know these things. I was very excited. I was on a show with a missions expert on world missions. They said from the Middle East, especially in Iran, people are Googling, who is Jesus? It's like the number one search. But globally, in the last few weeks, is Jesus going to return? Now, this is, so, hey, I know the world is in a rough spot right now, and God help us. But people are asking, and this is question number one from our third book, the first of 100 questions, is Jesus really going to return?
We can depend on his word. And as you have seen him go in the book of Acts, you shall also see him come in like manner. And the last prayer that is uttered or written, I should say, in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, is come quickly, Lord Jesus. The answer is he is coming back. And the Old Testament, we went through Isaiah recently, and some of the things there, some of the passages, you would have his first coming and his second coming intermingled, but you could definitely tell the difference. So the prophet said he was returning. Jesus said he was returning. The angels that was taking him up said he is returning. And Paul and John, and he is returning. So the answer is yes. We don't know when, but we are assured that he is coming back, Alex.
Amen. Well, and he said, you know, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, this is John 14, verse 3, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. And so, yes, Jesus' first coming was literal, actual, historical. His second coming will be the same way, a literal second coming. So we go over, you know, there's so many things that we know definitively, and then other things that we have a general idea about. There are quite a number of questions about Russia and China and the end times. But let me talk about Israel. Bert, the nation of Israel that was reborn May 14, 1948, and more Jewish people are in the Holy Land than at any time since the first two centuries. More Jewish people believe in Yeshua, Jesus Messiah, than at any previous time, really, since Pentecost. And Bert, I've got that data from a number of Jewish believers. It's been my privilege to interview, before he went to heaven, Moshe Rosen of Jews for Jesus, Sam Nadler of Chosen People Ministries, Dr. Michael Rydelnik from Cornerstone University, formerly of Moody Bible Institute for 30 years, Dr. Michael Brown, a born-again Jewish person. I think about so many that we know, born-again Jews, the late, great Dr. Barry Leventhal of Dallas Theological Seminary. So, Bert, here's the question. How significant is Israel in end times prophecy?
Let me just say, you do not pick up anything concerning eschatology, prophecy, without looking through the lens of where Israel is, what the Bible says about Israel. And as you said, in 1948, Israel became a nation. it surprised a lot of people. Those, I wasn't alive then, regardless of how old I am. I was not. But it was a time when, okay, now I see some of the things that is recorded in the book, in the Bible. Israel, they're back as a nation. They're not just scattered. They have gathered. And Israel gathered is an important. In fact, it is necessary. And Alex, they have. And when you look through the lens of Scripture at eschatology, things to come, you look at it that God's not through with Israel. Now, those that would say, no, the church has been has replaced Israel. I don't know how in the world they handle Israel being a nation once again. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It looks like that would, you know, at least dig into their thought life if Israel and has become a nation.
Well, exactly. And let me just say, and I'm going to go there, you know, controversial topics. Before I say what I'm about to say, I want to tell you, we have so many listeners to Exploring the Word of every theological strata. And, you know, if you're a follower of Jesus, we're family. We are. 1 John 5:1 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So no matter what theological camp you come from, we are family if you're a believer in Jesus. So please hear me out, and don't I'm not trying to, you know, stir the pot or anything like that. But there is something that I humbly disagree with, and that is what's called replacement theology. And in the book, we talk about the fact, somebody asked, is the church now Israel? I want to be very clear that the church, one of the key ways, I think, Bert, to accurately handle the eschatological passages, one must make a distinction between the church of believers and the nation of Israel. And we'll talk about this. I'm holding in my hand the most recent edition of Billy Graham's Decision Magazine. And by the way, in April of 2026, it's my great honor, I'll have an article in there, Decision Magazine, March of 26. And I want to commend Franklin Graham. This is really courageous. It really is. The entire issue, pretty much, is a look at and a respectful critique of replacement theology, that no, the church hasn't replaced Israel, that God's covenant with Abraham is everlasting. Now, I want to be clear, and I'll throw it back to you, Bert. All people, Jew, Gentile, male, female, all people must be born again. Jesus said that in John chapter 3. But regarding the covenant promises to Israel, that by historical precedent and by divine right, the land of Israel belongs to Israel. And yes, the modern state of Israel is highly significant. And the Jews in the land of Israel are the descendants of the biblical Jews. I mean, that's a big question. Now, so Israel is very important. Israel is different from the church, and there's a difference between grafting in and replacing. So believers, and especially Gentile believers, are grafted in to the covenant promises of God, but we have not supplanted or replaced the covenant promises of God. Bert, am I saying this correctly?
You're saying it well. Let me try to, in my simple, I would say, attempt to say this. The church, God has them on this plan, and it is the Jews, Gentiles grafted together. In the book of Ephesians, it really goes over that in a significant way, that it was only through Christ that he could make this peace happen, and it's in the church through Christ. He has that plan for the church. But at the same time, He has this plan for the nation of Israel. Now, his plan for all Jews is for them to be saved and be born again, and they would be grafted into the church. That does not keep them from being a nation as they are there in the Middle East. Now, let me give you this. Alex, you and I do this program. We're able, 14, 15 years ago, God brought this program into existence. He had Bert Harper ready to join Alex McFarland in doing Exploring the Word. But the path that we took to get here was different. You know, I pastored for 40 years, okay? Mm-hmm. You were a seminary president. You were a teacher. You worked for Dr. Dobson. You were an evangelist. You were an apologist. And you brought them for the same purpose of glorifying God on this program. Now, I just want to tell you, God's plan for Israel, God's plan for the church, do not negate each other for him to bring it to the end that he has set forth. Alex, I don't know if that illustration even comes close to it, but the plan doesn't negate what he has for each one, the church or the nation of Israel, does it?
Yeah, it's a really, really good analogy, Bert. I mean, it really is. And we had somewhat different paths, but we arrived at the same place.
We did, yeah.
A God-ordained destination. Exactly. And so I think that's a really good analogy. And let me just say this about the question, has the church replaced Israel? And I've said this many times, and we talk about this in the book. There's really one verse, Galatians 6:16, that says, blessed be the Israel of God. Now, in a big sense, yes, the true Israel, the Israel of God, is the family of all born-again believers that will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven one day. But let me just talk about, and we'll move on to another question. I guess I would call it, Bert, the irrevocability of God's call on Israel. And I would just urge people to read Romans 11. Has God cast away his people? Paul asked this question in Romans 11:1. Hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. Romans 11:2. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. And Romans 11:26 through 29, it says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And back in Genesis 12, 17, 19, you know, over and over it says that the call of God on Abraham and Abraham's seed is an everlasting covenant. And so if it could have somehow been breached or ended, it wouldn't have been everlasting, would it?
It would not. And again, I loved what you said, and we want to say it once again as we started this, as we end it. When you look at eschatology and you look at different areas of I would say, disagreement concerning Israel, concerning future events, a literal 1,000 years or everything, we got to have some grace. Both of us can't be right. Now, that's the whole idea. But we can be right on this, that we can be ready when he returns. We can be ready and know him. And until he returns, we're on business of carrying out the Great Commission. Now, Alex, I would say that's more important than the other. Okay?
Right, right.
And that's what we want to say on Exploring the Word. That's what AFA and AFR is about. It's about people knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm in a body of people that work here one day a week, and we're talking about the different issues and what AFR and AFA need to speak to. But the big issue is always our purpose, our founding, is the Great Commission, to let people know about Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to be about. That's what every believer needs to be about. That needs to be the church, what it needs about. So have grace, but also stand firm on God's word. Alex, I think you can do both.
I think so too. And the Holy Spirit will help us achieve that balance. Well, this has been Exploring the Word. Some questions from listeners like you, and we sincerely appreciate that. And so we ask you a question. Have you accepted Christ? Have you been born again? We hope you have. Remember, Jesus is as close by as a prayer. And if you would, tell somebody about AFR and Exploring the Word. Most of all, though, and this is all of us, we are to tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.